The following message first aired as a broadcast of Grace and Truth Radio, hosted by Pastor John Bodner of Hope Assembly in Mississauga, Ontario. For more information, contact www.hopeabc.org.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Revelation 1:10, 12-17. My theme today is, When I Saw Him, John's Vision of Christ. When you think of Jesus Christ, what do you see? Many of us recall the devotional paintings reproduced on Sunday bulletins or Sunday school lessons, and some of the finest artists of history have endeavored to portray Jesus in marble or canvas. Some will immediately think of Holman Hunt's Victorian masterwork, The Light of the World. Others will recall the rich illustrations of Lehrman, like Christ the Pilot, or Robert Coleman in Jesus in Gethsemane. I remember as a boy how my imagination was arrested by the prints of the Danish painter Ernst Bloch, whose Christus Consolator, gathering the needy, sick, aged, and penitent, opened a large family Bible in our home. The thoughts of others slip back to Da Vinci's historic Last Supper, or Michelangelo's Pietà statue, or for many, the common print of the Sacred Heart or the crucifix on the bedroom or in the living room wall. My ancestors from Ukraine, like others raised in the Eastern churches, would venerate and kiss resplendent icons of the Byzantine Christ. And then there was the day in East London I walked into a West Indian bookshop to behold, to my astonishment, Jesus in dreadlocks, a print of an handsome black Christ joyfully welcoming to his arms the children of the world. Or then came the day, returning to my old university campus, I headed toward the denominational seminary attached, and found in its private gardens the unmistakable statue of the female Christ, placed in a pose of agony as upon the cross. Now all these varied portraits of Christ, which so often impress our minds as children, never quite leave our imaginations, all of them have some common features. All of them cast Christ in our own cultural mold. Every one, Western European, Byzantine Eastern, Caribbean, North American feminist. They all portray the Lord as no man ever saw him in the days of his flesh, for we have no authentic portrait of Christ, and only the slightest allusions in Scripture about his earthly features. All of them completely fail to convey in any effective manner his glory as God manifest in the flesh. And in principle, because all of them try to depict him who is eternal God, they are idolatrous. We may not intend to give them the worship and adoration due directly only to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but they inevitably lead us in that direction. And worse, they reduce and distort our conception of the Lord Jesus. Nothing is so pervasive and yet so mischievous in Christian tradition, be it Eastern, Roman, or Anglican, than trying to portray Christ by art. The Puritan Reformation rendered a vital service to the gospel when it shattered the stained glass and carved stone of cathedral and chapel to let the light of day fall upon the open Bible. For only the Bible fully, properly portrays the Lord Jesus as he was, is, and ever shall be. Only the Scriptures enable us to know him, not superficially or after the flesh, but substantially, in his nature, character, purposes, and ways. We see Jesus by hearing his word, just as John the Apostle turned to see the voice that spake with him. Through the vision, John here gives of Christ, we may be taught by God's Spirit who Christ really is now, for his own, for us, if we are his. For when the Apostle John relates his vision of Christ, he does not write as a Greek, but as a Jew, not in Hellenistic terms to depict the outer, physical form revealed in time and space. No, he writes in the Hebrew vein of the Old Testament prophets and seers, stretching language and expression to the limit to convey the reality and inner substance of what his eyes behold. Make no mistake, John saw a physical reality with his physical eyes, but his inspired record is opened to the eyes of the heart through faith alone. Looking back over the momentous years of the Savior's life on earth, John had written, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." On the snowy slopes of Mount Hermon, at the Transfiguration, John had shared a glimpse of Christ's Godhead in majesty with Peter, and of it Peter writes, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And at the resurrection, John saw his Savior enter into his glory, and he ever after longed for him to return in power and great glory to sit on the throne of his glory. That is the keynote of this vision too. Here John beholds what every man, woman, boy and girl, saint or sinner, must accept and adore: the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 12 to 13, John beholds the glory of Christ in his royal priesthood. For here, as in the temple of God, that church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, the Son of Man stands for holy service, the center of seven distinct and equal lampstands, no longer the seven-branched candelabra of the Old Testament church, which fell with the Jewish theocracy, but the independent local assemblies of New Testament saints scattered through the earth, centered, united under Christ, their King and Head, as High Priest. Here the Lord Jesus stands as one like the Son of Man, his human nature once given a ransom for many, now risen, glorified, exalted to the right hand of the Majesty on high, placed with dominion and a kingdom over all peoples, nations, and languages to serve him. Christ stands clothed in that glory and beauty of priestly garment and girdle, like Aaron, who on the Day of Atonement emerged from the holiest place in flowing golden robes to bless the nation. Now the Savior walks and rests in the high honor of garments all gold, high girded to move in calm dignity, in the beauty of holiness, not after the Levitical order, but after the eternal priesthood of Melchizedek. Once for all, the Lord Jesus offered himself to bear the sins of many. Once for all, he died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. Now, raised from the dead, he dies no more, and Christ, who died, yea, rather is risen again to the right hand of God, makes intercession for us by the power of an endless life. In verses 14 to 15, John beholds the glory of Christ in his divine person. Son of Man he still is. Yet the man Christ Jesus here displays his glory of his incarnate Godhead, which John had but once seen before at the Transfiguration with Peter and James. Daniel's vision of the Ancient of Days is here applied completely to the Son as much as to the Father, to declare plainly that Jesus is Lord, God over all, blessed forever. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, to bespeak the purity and eternity of his Godhead. The Savior is the light of the world because God is light, in whom is no darkness at all, and Jesus is God. His eyes were as a flame of fire, flashing, blazing to betoken his penetrating, all-searching knowledge, his devastating, all-consuming wrath. For Jesus is God, and our God is a consuming fire. His feet blaze with the amber glow of gold and brass, fresh from the furnace of some Ephesian coppersmith, gleaming, they blast, scorch, turn to ashes all on whom he treads, for he is the Son of Righteousness. His voice rises above the crashing surf, an endless roar of the waves that echo all over Patmos. His voice, like a mighty cataract, falls, surging with restless, irresistible power, as it once did to still the storms of the Sea of Galilee. His is the voice of Jehovah, sitting upon the flood as King forever to give strength and peace to his people. None can know, or love, or serve Jesus Christ, who refuses him the glory, as is as God the Son, No doubting Thomas can remain faithless who confesses him as my God and my Lord. Then in verses 16 to 17, John beholds the glory of Christ is in his infinite power and authority. With his entire messianic endowment as king, prophet, and priest, Christ Jesus displays his power over creation and redemption, the world and the church, to save and to judge. His right hand as creator of the universe and savior of his elect holds as a diadem the stars of heaven and humanity, all the constellations known to man then or since, all his people and pastors to rebuke, chasten, remove, or cast off. Christ the King reigns. A terrible two-edged sword went out of his mouth, like Goliath's mighty blade or the flaming sword that guarded Eden's gates, a sword as high as a man, whetted keen on both edges to devour and divide. The word of God spoken by Christ proved sharper than any two-edged sword in both Old Testament and New, by law and gospel, to convert or condemn, for God in these last times has spoken to us in his Son. His countenance was as the sun in his strength, for as the high priest and Lord of his elect, the Lord Jesus shines forth in the glory of God, not mirrored as Moses, veiled from view, but as in a glass. When I saw him, says John, I fell at his feet as dead. The glory of Christ in his priesthood, his divine person and infinite power, that is what Jesus is like now. John fell before him at his feet in wonder, worship, and complete surrender, fell dead as in holy awe and terror, in overwhelming conviction of sin and renunciation of self. How do you respond to Jesus Christ? Once the blessed Christ of beauty was veiled off from human view, but through suffering, death, and sorrow, he has rent the veil in two. Lo, he is the mighty conqueror. Do you see him as such? Do you worship him today as such?
This message was sponsored by Hope Assembly of Bible Christians in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. If you wish to receive spiritual help, information about our ministries, or permission to use this audio message, please contact Pastor John Bodner at www.hopeabc.org or www.jpbodner.com. Thank you, and God bless you.